Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Okay, I'm just like, how do I, okay. All right.
There we go.
We Still Like You, the podcast.
Stories of shame from people like you.
Yeah, that's what we're doing right now. I'm Mark Carmen, sitting in for Patty Vasquez, Rachel Woodall, and we bring in two gentlemen from We Still Like You, WeStillLikeYou.com. Check them out. Listen to them. iTunes, the podcast, and we've got Dan and Jesse in studio here. And you guys have a really cool idea because I guess we've all done things in our life that we are ashamed of, and it's kind of hard to let go at times of those because you feel guilty. Perhaps you impacted someone's life in a negative way, and you've kind of created a forum to just let everybody have a cathartic experience, so to speak. So take it away from there, Dan. What would you say?
Yeah, the show is basically like a reverse baptism. It's basically like taking your shame and just bathing in it and realizing that we're all kind of dirtbags.
So where did the concept for the show come from?
The show started 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago now. It was like February of 2014. Myself, Danny Gallegos, and Tyler Snodgrass were all like fairly new comics in Chicago, all doing stand-up. And we wanted to start a show. I mean, we knew what we wanted it to be about. We knew we wanted it to be something confessional and something that, you know, required you to kind of share a more vulnerable side. And so we created We Still Like You as a house show. It was originally in my apartment where I had three roommates who were just so accepting of the fact that I brought this nightmare into their house once a month for a year and a half. And yeah, it slowly evolved into this thing now that's become just this celebration of any shame you've felt at any point in your life.
So what is it about the environment of being in an apartment or a backyard that you think helps with the kind of cathartic experience?
I'd say, like, especially at the start, since it was such a crowd of just, like, it was, you know, at the very beginning it was comedians watching comedians. It was, like, all people, like, our friends allowing this idea to grow. And I think it created this communal aspect that we have now where it feels like the way we do our stories is we don't limit our storytellers in any way. Like, we don't have a producer shape your story. We don't have anybody telling you exactly how it should be told. We want to hear it pretty much like you would tell your friends. We want it to feel like the first time you've told it. And so I think that apartment aspect, that like house venue, really helps it feel like, you know, just friends talking in a lot of ways. And we've since actually moved to a theater now. We're in a theater like for our monthly shows, and we still do house shows and things like that. Mm-hmm. But we've somehow managed to, you know, bring that feeling into a larger space. And I think it's because our audience is just so on board with, you know, forgiving people for all these crazy things they've done.
So in a standard show, you'll have how many people in the room per se? What's normal? I know you guys are a building and whatnot. I mean, it could be super small, but it could be how, like, what's the most you've ever had?
We're actually pretty proud. We've been standing room only since we moved into our new theater for the last 6 months, which is usually about 80 or so people.
So you got 80 people in a room.
Yeah.
And how many people of the 80 are going to share?
6 to 7, usually, right?
Yeah, usually bring up 6 to 7 performers. And then on the podcast, we record all of these stories. So people tell these stories live, not only in front of the audience that's there in person, but the idea is to put it out there on the internet and really, like, conquer that shame. Just, like, own that story and be comfortable enough to let it out there and be like, this doesn't define me.
So you vet who's going to speak before the show?
We take open pitches from our email, just westillikeyou@gmail.com. Anyone's welcome to perform on the show.
Westillikeyou@gmail.com, okay.
Yeah, we've had essayists, improv performers, primarily comedians.
We've had people with no performance background whatsoever just reach out to us with stories, too.
In fact, I think one of the strongest stories we ever had was someone who was not a performer and told a story for the very first time to anyone outside of her very, very close network. And I mean, destroyed the room.
Yeah, she got the first standing ovation, and We Still Like
People were weeping. It was amazing.
What was the story about? Is that legal?
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, no. It was about being inadvertently inducted into a cult when she was younger. She ended up being involved with like this like small cult, and it was like just this really touching story. And she also made it funny at points, but it was like a very deep cut of a story. Like it was very, very personal to her. And the fact that she was, like, willing to share it and she, like, made herself so vulnerable for the audience, I think it just, like, really connected everybody in that moment, and it was just like one of the most kinetic show experiences I've ever had. Where it just felt like everyone was so in that moment.
That's super cool. Dan Sheehan, Jesse Pretend in the studio, We Still Like You. So now you share the story, and then the whole thing is that the whole room is going to applaud. What goes on?
At the end of the story, they say, We Still Like You.
Yeah, they just they cheer. They raise their glasses.
Was I supposed to say We Still Like You?
No, I...
He was pointing at me.
Let's be honest for a second, though, guys. There has to be some performance, some story, where maybe you said out loud, We Still Like You, but in the back of your brain, you're like, I really actually don't like you anymore.
Has that happened?
It has to happen.
There are some where people have really tested our audience's limits. Yeah. We've had a couple where... it's left people just being like, whoa, like that's a lot to handle. But I think like what we always tell people at the top of the show is that if someone has gotten to the point where they're on the show telling the story, they're not telling it because they're proud of what they did or exactly. because they're happy about what they did. There are a lot of things that people have done and confessed on the show where it's like, oh, you were like genuinely a bad, you know, boyfriend, friend, mom, dad, whatever. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and people are confessing these things because they acknowledge that it wasn't their finest moment. But we all have those awful moments and things we've done. So it's like kind of owning up to your full self, even though it's not necessarily the prettiest picture.
312-981-7200. If you would like to share a story, if something...
Yeah.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. If you'd like to share a story where you, you know, have some guilt, some remorse, and we'll all tell you that we still like you.
You guys will absolve them on the air?
We still like you.
And we'll also give you a gift card to Lou Malnati's Pizza for the best one that comes in here. 312-981-7200. Rachel, would you like to share a story?
Well, I actually wanted to ask them for examples of stories first, but I do have one.
So
it just
do I.
probably isn't as great. So would you guys like to share
Sure. Okay, I can go for one. I have a few like quicker ones that I use. One of my... like. I'm trying to think of also what's radio appropriate because the show is decidedly not very PG. I will warn
some
potential
of them,
podcast
yes.
listeners that there it does get a little rowdy in there.
All you need to worry about is profanity. You can dance around everything else.
Okay. One of my the first ones I tell at the top of a lot of shows is that when I was a kid, you remember like when you were a kid and Christmas time would come around and they would do those like Santa tracker things for young kids and mm-hmm. it would be like you could. Go online, you could see where Santa was at that particular moment in the day. And I remember me and my sister were both very young, and I told my little sister, who could not read and thus verify anything other than what I was telling her, that Santa had been shot down over Kuwait. And I thought this was a hilarious comedy bit, and instead all I did was ruin Christmas for a child briefly.
Hold on.
Now, wait a minute, too. Are there a lot of details that you had in the story? Like, was it a tragic...
I just Hindenburged it. I was just like, looking at my computer. I was like, oh, God. Oh, my God. Santa's been shot down over Kuwait. And, like, as a kid, I didn't even really know what I was talking about. I just knew, like, hey, there's a war going on. And, like, Santa got involved, I guess.
So we're talking, like, 1991. You're how old?
In 1991, I would have been like 1 year old. This is probably like 1998 or 99.
Okay, were there presents all over Kuwait, by the way?
How did you know about Kuwait when you were like 8?
My dad had this book about the Middle East that would always be around the house. And so I like knew some like cities from the Middle East in it, like just from the cover.
Interesting.
Yeah, just like those weird things you absorb as a child where, you know, just your surroundings.
Well, I think I like you even more after that story.
My sister... Not so much.
Do we need to, like, is it a whole, like, 1, 2, 3, we still like you clap?
We usually try to make it in unison. So,
are you ready?
Guys, ready?
1, 2, 3, we still like you.
Awesome.
Yes.
There
All right.
Go.
Bam. Okay. That would be your turn now, Jesse.
All right. So this is, I still really feel bad about this because I have absolutely no reason for doing it. But when I was in grade school, one day I left the sink running in the bathroom, and I don't know how this happened, but 2 hours later a kid comes rushing in and he's like, there's water all over the floor. And somehow the sink must have backed up. It flooded the entire room. Now here's where I actually am embarrassed. They made me come in and clean the carpets. And I got a disease from the carpet cleaner that only kids under the age of 10 are supposed to get. And I was like 13. So I don't know what that says.
You got a carpet disease?
I got a carpet disease.
So wait a second. You just to be funny, you just decided to leave the sink on.
Yeah.
But, that makes sense.
But so, but you thought that it would just drain. You were just like being like a water waster.
Yeah, water pranks.
Yeah.
Okay, the old water prank. And so then we had a clogged situation.
My guess is that someone came in and finished the job. Like, they saw the water on and they were like, oh, you know what would be really funny is if I plug the sink.
Like in Home Alone.
Yeah.
The Wet Bandits.
How did the school know that it was you?
I went to a very small school.
Okay.
And someone must have seen me coming out of the bathroom. It was the only thing I can think of.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, that's like nothing. That's like less than PG.
I had one that was actually kind of mean that maybe I'll tell in the next segment, but I have a quick one about fooling a sibling, and my brother will deny that he ever believed this, but I have a cousin who looks a lot like me, especially when we were younger. We had the same like nose and mouth and a gap between our teeth, and we looked like brother and sister. And I had my brother convinced for an afternoon that my cousin Tyler was actually my brother and my brother was my cousin, but our aunt and uncle didn't want him, so they traded kids.
Oh, my God.
I got in a lot of trouble.
What's the age difference between you and who you're fooling?
My brother's 2 years younger than me.
Mm.
So would you say your brother's still scarred by this experience? Does he not feel like he's...
He's probably mad that I just said that because he's going to say that he never believed me, but I'm pretty sure that he did.
Interesting.
He got very upset and told my mom, and then I got, you know... No TV or something, but I feel a little bad about it now, but mostly I still think it's funny.
312-98 with Deviant Rachel. 312-981-7200. Sharing something that you did in your past. We still like you, and if you do share and it's the best one we hear, you'll win a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's. I'm going to do mine when we come back here in a quick, what do we got, 2 minutes here on 720 WGN. Woo! Is that Debbie Gibson? No? Who was it?
Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston, right. I knew that. I was just checking to make sure.
All over this video.
I love Whitney Houston, and I love you, and it's the 4th of July weekend. I'm Mark Harriman. She's Rachel Woodall, and in studio, we've got We Still Like You, Dan Shee and Jesse Bittend are in here, and they're telling vulnerable stories, and we have Lou Malnati's for you if you'd like to tell a vulnerable story, and we're going to tell you that we still like you, even though you did something wrong. So here's mine. I'm 20 years old, roughly. I'm driving in the car with my girlfriend at the time, and I'm a competitive, athletic idiot occasionally. Mm-hmm. So we're going down a winding road, and there I see this chipmunk crossing the street. So my idea in the moment was I was going to zoom at the chipmunk, and I was going to perfectly hit it where the car was going to... Not hit... Hold on. I was going to perfectly cross over the chipmunk so it would be like right in the middle of the car. Okay? I wasn't trying to hit
God.
It.
God. Okay.
So I go for it, and I have tremendous confidence in my athletic abilities and my driving abilities. So I fly over this chipmunk, and then I just feel the slightest clip of like the tail or whatever.
No.
And I look back in the window... And the chipmunk squirming, and not squirming anymore. And
Oh, no.
So did she think that you did it on purpose?
She went ballistic.
Oh, man.
Ballistic. I mean, full wailing, pounding on my shoulder, fists to the...
Wow.
And I deserved it. I absolutely deserved it.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Why did you think that athletic ability translated to driving around chipmunks?
Because there's a certain speed and the turn and the, I don't know.
So you made the car go faster with your athletic skills?
Well, I mean, auto racing is a professional sport. I don't know.
Were you an auto racer?
In this moment in my mind, I was, Rachel. I'm a terrible person at that moment. And, okay, 1, 2, 3.
We still like you.
Oh, God, thank you so
kind
much.
Of.
I like you more than when I thought you ran it over on purpose.
I didn't run it over on purpose, but I did kill the chipmunk, and I felt terrible about it.
I was in Atlanta this week, and I almost crashed my car because I stopped really quickly to not hit a snake. there was a big long snake in the road, and I was on this dirt gravel road, and I didn't want to murder this snake. So I slam on the brakes, and my car is like flying through this gravel. And I'm like, that was dumb. Like in the moment, I'm like, if I die for this snake, this is stupid.
That snake better live a long and successful life.
And I opened the door to see what had happened to it, and it wasn't there. So either I hit it so hard it flew away, or, which I don't think is how snakes work.
Oh, it is.
Or it's safe. So.
630 texting, being a bad older brother, I'm cleaning up the language
nice,
here.
Nice.
I once handcuffed my brother to our neighbor's fence and pantsed him. When I went back in, my friends were at the back door, so I forgot about my brother and left with my friends. Wait, hang on. Line just jumped. And he continues on, when I got home, my neighbor, mom, and brother were all sitting in our kitchen waiting for me to come home.
We like you so much.
That's amazing.
We still like you. Oh, my God.
Oh,
thank you for sharing that. That's beautiful.
One more from the 630, this different 630. When I was about 5 years old, a friend and I were playing with sparklers in the basement of our apartment building. We threw the sparklers into the storage units. And then we left thinking they were extinguished already. They were not, and ended up catching the apartment building on fire.
Oh, man.
Wow.
It wasn't a total loss, but there were a lot of people displaced. There was a lady who had
seen us
playing with them and tried to blame us, and my mom refused to believe her and got into a fight with her. Do you still like me?
We still like you.
I mean, We've all been there.
We have not.
We were just talking about the dangers of sparklers.
We were.
And
yeah.
Look at that.
That's and so also historical. Sort of the majestic beauty of fireworks.
Right. Yeah. Okay, yeah, Craig. We got a text saying that the SWAT team's coming to your house.
That's not
no
good.
Joke. It's on here.
312-981-7200 for our callers. You can win Lou Malnati's with your stories where you were a terrible person, but we're still gonna like you. Mary Ann, you're on 720 WGN. Let's hear your story. Hi. Mary Ann.
Okay, but me and my sisters and a couple of our girlfriends, it was a summer night and we had to be about 10-11 years old. We decided to egg cars.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a nice night and we didn't realize it, but we threw the eggs and they went in a car and landed on a bunch of guys who had tuxedos on. They were on their way to a wedding reception.
Oh, no.
And they got out of the car. We never ran so fast. We hid in the window wells of the neighbors. And oh my God. If they would have caught us, they would have beat us to death.
Oh, man.
Wow.
And it's like I felt so bad because, I mean, they were screaming.
Ah.
So.
Marianne, hang on. That's an outstanding call, and congratulations.
And
3, 2, 1.
We still like you.
Thanks, Marianne. 312-981-7200. That reminded me of hiding in the bushes / kind of a woody area by my house growing up, and we would crush cars with acorns. And one of them, a lot. And one of them stopped and went right up to the old door of my house, and that was the last time we did that.
Very nice.
312-981-7200. Pat, you're on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Pat.
Well, I was, my wife was pregnant with our first child back in a while ago, and advanced pregnancy. She was 8th month or something like that, and she would get up to go to the bathroom frequently during the night at that point. And somehow I got the idea it would be funny, and I taped the toilet paper roll. And all I remember, and I had tears in my eyes, was hearing the toilet paper roll going around and around and around. Very funny.
Pat, good job.
We still like you.
Oh, man.
Pat, are you still married?
27 years and 5 kids. And
all right.
Pat, you're the man.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hang on. We'll maybe take one more here. 312-981. 7200.
I have
yes.
a question. Do you think that the listeners still like us after we're laughing at all of this stuff?
Yeah.
I would certainly ask for that forgiveness.
It is in the rules. So.
Yeah, that's true.
The rules cut both ways. You have to still like me and my garbage self.
We can roll this over after the news because a couple more people want to share. 312-981-7200. Mary and Pat will take your information and we'll decide a winner after the 12 o'clock news. So quick timeout and we'll continue with We Still Like You on 720 WGN. Great job by Don Norton tonight. Don, have a great holiday.
Hey, you too. Have fun. And
enjoy the fireworks.
I will. I'll be back on the 4th just to make sure it's going to be a fun night.
Yeah. Yes.
Appreciate your help, Don.
Thank you.
So this is the Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez show. Patty is off tonight, and I'm Mark Carmen, and she's Rachel Woodall. And in the studio with us, Dan Sheehan, Jesse Batten from We Still Like You on 720 WGN. As we are, if you're just joining us, what we're doing right now is telling stories where we acted in a way that still embarrasses us to this day. And we're all going to just sit here and become a community, so to speak, and say we still like you after you share. Like, it's just a nice moment for you to, you know, give yourself that, hey, it's okay. We're not perfect people, and we're all moving forward in life, right?
Yeah, exactly. We've all done things. We've all said things.
And we're also offering to you at 312-981-7200 a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's for the best story. And we've had two already, and now we will move along. And I'm going to share another one in a matter of moments because I've got a lot. But first, you, 312-981-7200. Susan, you've got a story. You're on 720 WGN. Susan?
Hello?
Hello, Susan.
Oh, okay, hey. I didn't hear my name. when I was a kid, there's this police officer that wanted to date my mom, and I didn't like him. And so I talked to my girlfriends and to see if they had any leftover food, and we got leftover food. And the police officer wasn't home, so I stuffed like mashed potatoes and leftover food and down the windshield of his car.
Dang, to a cop?
Dang.
Yeah. And wait a minute, it's not done yet. I poured honey down there too.
Oh.
And then I took dish soap and put like food color in it and squirted it on the side of his house so it looked like paint.
Whoa!
Oh my God.
And then my girlfriend had a dog, and we picked up dog poop and put it on his doormat.
Whoa! That's crazy.
So was this his cop car or his civilian car?
Civilian car.
Oh man.
That's good, at least.
That's still.
Wait, but did he solve the crime?
Listen to the joy in Susan telling this story.
I know. Do you feel bad?
I don't think Susan feels bad at all.
Oh, Susan, I still like you. That's amazing.
I like you, too.
Yeah, that takes bravery.
Well, hold on before I give my liking on this, Susan. Why did you not like this gentleman? What was the reasoning behind it? Was there anything valid?
Well, he ended up getting kicked off the police force. Let's put it that way. His behavior wasn't very good, and the kids in the neighborhood knew it, and I said, he's trying to date my mom, you know, and so they helped me get.
So you were like a cool vigilante.
Yeah.
You were just giving out street justice.
I guess I don't feel guilty.
If your mom was listening to this story right now, Susan, what would she think?
Oh.
He didn't know I did that.
Defended your mother's honor, got a crooked cop out of the biz. This is great. You're like Batman.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that they did not end up dating.
No, it ended pretty quick.
But Jesse asked a good question. Did he solve the crime?
He was following me around and watching me for
See,
a
that's
while.
Weird.
Wow, yeah.
No wonder he got kicked off the force.
Right?
Man.
Yikes.
It was a small town, so it wasn't like, you know.
Well, Susan, 1, 2, 3.
We still like you.
Thank you, Susan.
Lot.
Awesome.
Hang on, Susan. Appreciate your. Listen to the joy in Susan.
Yeah. I love
loves it.
Way to go, Susan. 312-981-7200. Rachel, would you like to go next?
Sure. Okay, this one will actually test if you guys will still like me.
Uh oh.
I was sharing this with Craig earlier, because we were talking about something else, and I realized I was trying to frame it in a way that didn't make me look bad because I was pretty ashamed of it. So I had a roommate who had to take Ambien, and she would do really weird stuff when she was on Ambien. So one night we thought it would be a good idea to duct tape her into her room. And yeah, so we did that. So we put like a big X of duct tape in front of her door, and like her door's still open. But then like later we heard at later that night, we heard kind of a noise coming from her room, and she was just standing there like a zombie, because she would come out like naked and like cook food in the sink and stuff.
Oh, weird.
It was weird,
oh,
but she's just standing there as like a zombie staring at the tape, and then finally ended up like crawling underneath it. And so then we took all the tape off and got rid of all the evidence so that she wouldn't remember it in the morning.
Oh, man.
If she was listening right now, would this be news
so
to her?
I'm so sorry.
And this was college, did I hear that right?
Yes, okay. Early college. And, you know, I'm super old, so it was a really long time ago.
These things happen. One, two, three.
We still like you.
All right.
Thank God.
312-981-7200. Cameron. You're on 720 WGN with your horrible story.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey, Cameron.
So I'm a pilot, and I have a friend who is deathly afraid of flying. And the kind of deathly afraid where she gets on a plane, and every single noise she hears, she thinks the plane is just going to fall apart in the sky. And I thought it would be a great idea to take her up in a little Cessna 172, which is a four-seat single-engine plane, you know, and just fly around and try to get her to be a little bit more at ease with flying. And so we got up to like 6,000 or 7,000 feet, and I pretended to pass out. And I
had... Oh, no. That's such a high stakes prank.
Oh my God.
Oh, oh man.
Like, you... I had pretended, well, no, I had trimmed the plane out so that we would descend like 1,000 feet. In a controlled way, but I was just passed out for 30 seconds.
Oh,
while she was screaming.
Oh my God.
Me, pounding my chest. She probably thought I had a heart attack. And then I just woke up and started laughing. And she and vowed never to fly again.
Wait. Did you just say that she never talked to you since? Did I hear that right?
No, she hasn't flown since.
Oh, hasn't flown.
She hasn't flown since.
Okay. Wow. Are you guys still friends?
Yeah. I ruined her future travel for the rest of her life.
Yeah, she can take a boat.
Yeah, boats are fun.
To Hawaii for a honeymoon.
So you went like all Denzel Washington Flight, which is a great movie, by the way. And
it's a great movie.
And you were actually, that's impressive to be getting physically attacked and still act like you're sleeping. That's pretty good there, Cameron.
Thank you.
All right, you're a candidate. There's no doubt about it. One, two, three.
We still like you.
Love you, Cameron. 312-981-7200. I didn't think we were going to get something that good. The old.
I don't know if I would still like him. After that, it would take me a while. If he did that to me. But
that'd be tough. I don't know. I love flying, though. So, and I love adventure.
I hope his next one is like a snakes on a plane type prank.
Just bringing a cool snake up into the sky
the
with him.
The snake that you didn't hit.
Oh,
in
my
Georgia.
Rescue snake, yeah.
Just don't combine it with Mark's story and try and avoid
yeah.
Try to avoid a flying snake.
Yeah.
Mark's, let me think about this. Mark's next story. Here, I'll do that in a second. 312-981-7200. Rather hear from you. Tim, you're on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Tim. Oh, I'm sorry. Tim, welcome in.
Jim.
Oh, Jim.
Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hey.
Go ahead, man.
Yeah, right. Right when I got out of high school, I was in my young hippie stage. We had about 8 of us headed to San Francisco to see the Grateful Dead. And the van had a nice haze in it right when we got to San Francisco, and I saw these two guys on the corner with suit and ties on in front of a huge puddle. And as I accelerated towards the puddle, all my friends started cheering me on. And I just hit that puddle, and it just soaked them. Water went over their head.
There's a theme
I just kept going.
Jim, what would you like to say to them right now, if they were listening?
I'm sorry. I was just young. Hopefully it doesn't happen to me. I was only in San Francisco for 5 minutes when I did it, and I just kept going with my Illinois plates on.
There's a theme of people destroying people's suits.
Yeah.
Suits are getting egged. Suits are getting wet.
That's not a good investment.
Jim, I have it on good authority that they are listening, and they say it's okay, and they actually nowadays, you know, a little time has passed, they think it was funny. So you're all right.
Yeah.
All right, Jim.
I saw their face right before I hit them, and it was kind of a...
Terror?
Kind of, yeah. Terror and, Is this really happening?
Oh, it happened. You got it done. All right, one, two, three.
We still like you.
Thank you, Jim. 312-981-7200. All right, so my last one. So many to choose from. It's
uh-oh.
Yeah. My most vulnerable one, if I was to go there, I guess I will. I was in seventh grade, maybe eighth grade, junior high for sure. And there was a girl in the class who, she kind of had just, she was a little, I wouldn't say special needs, but she would shake a little bit. So I was in the back of the room, and I was trying to entertain somebody else who I wanted to really like me, because he was one of the cool kids. And so she ended up hearing me, which I did not realize that she had. And the next day when I came into class, I was called into the dean's office. I was threatened and the whole thing. Well, not threatened, but like, hey, you know, you were put, this is a super nice girl, and look at what you did. And I didn't think she had heard me, but like, I literally will carry that one for the rest of my life.
Well,
so apologies on WGN Radio 30 years later.
Well, one, two, three.
We still like you.
That's a bad one. All right, but that's as vulnerable as I can be.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. It's out. I've done stuff like that, too. There were kids I was mean to growing up where I'm just like, oh, why did I do that?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that just kind of spin out of control. I mean,
especially when you're a kid.
And a lot of stories do kind of begin with pranks or like some stupid idea. In college, there was a guy who believed in ghosts who, like, we convinced him that his house was haunted by basically sending him pictures from the security camera in his house and just photoshopping ghosts into them. And instead of being afraid, he was excited because he believed in ghosts. So he showed them to everybody in school. He submitted them to a ghost hunting program. Oh. He was chosen for said ghost hunting program.
He got his ghost hopes up.
And that's the internet, so like, really let him have it. And I felt terrible because they were like, those are obviously photoshopped. And I was like, yeah, they are.
No. That's okay, Jesse. One, two, three.
We still like you.
One more, Cynthia.
I feel bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
We all do.
He kind of should have known better. That's an adult. Yeah. Cynthia. Hello, Cynthia.
Yes. Hey, Cynthia.
I worked in a hospital, okay, and this guy dies. Well, he was sitting up, and he was in rigor mortis, but they put him down flat. So another nurse's aide and I were told to take him downstairs to the morgue. So we're on the elevator, and all of a sudden I hear, and this nurse's aide was standing behind me, and she's like almost, I don't know, ready to pass out. He's sitting up on the stretcher. And by the time we got down to the basement, the supervisor was there, and as soon as the elevator door opened, we jumped. Well, lo and behold, this guy was still sitting up.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that sounds so spooky.
Hold on a second. You guys thought he was dead and he was alive? Am I hearing this right, Cynthia? I'm a little slow sometimes.
No. He was gone. I took his pulse. He was, you know.
So who was making the noises? Am I the only one confused here?
It was
the aide behind me.
Oh, she was okay. Just scared because he was just sitting up like a live guy.
To her because I had, you know, the buttons on the elevator. And all of a sudden she started going, oh. Anyway,
I guess
that's what happened.
Oh, man.
That would be terrifying.
I mean, I didn't need any confirmation on this, but I never want to work in a hospital.
Yeah. Well, Cynthia, one, two, three.
We still like you.
Good job, Cynthia. Craig Collins, do you want to share before this is over? I know, oh, boy, deep breath in there.
No, I think we could just leave mine out of this.
No, I think we probably should. I mean,
no stone unturned.
Hours.
Okay, well, I dated a girl when I worked at the Meijer grocery store, and she was a nice lady, but things, they weren't working out. She was calling me a lot. I kind of wanted a little bit more space. So I go into work one day, and I break up with her, and I realize the next day that she didn't get it. Like, she comes in, still acts like we're in a relationship. So I actually did it again, and I thought I used really good words. Like, I have to break up with you is literally words that came out of my mouth. Still didn't understand. So I took her out to a really nice dinner, and as we're at dinner, I see her parents walk in, and they come over and ask to sit down with us. And because I really wanted to be out of the relationship, I broke up with her in front of her parents. She didn't understand it still, so I excused myself to the restroom, climbed out the window, and left.
Oh, man.
Savage.
Oh, my God.
That's nuts.
That's phenomenal.
That's a real good one.
Yeah. Knew we weren't in a relationship after that, so yeah.
Oh,
it didn't work.
Are you sure she knows?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, she's out there still. But
there's a lady outside the window waving at you.
Yeah. She came into work the next day, and she asked to never be scheduled with me again.
Why? Hold on a second.
Wow.
I break up with you. Those are pretty clear words.
Well, I kept kind of adding the, you know, I really like you and things have gone so great, but I can't do a relationship right now. Like,
so you're trying to soften the blow.
Yeah, I try every single time, especially in front of her parents, actually. Yeah, I thought I softened the blow.
When you've got an audience for a breakup.
But I said that I didn't think that this relationship was working out. Those were words I used, and the parents were mortified. Their faces turned so angry with me.
What else could you do?
The girl was still sort of smiling like,
you're breaking up with their baby girl right in front of them.
Yeah.
She could have just been pretending not to understand.
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
That's like a long con. You find yourself married 20 years later. She's like, oh, I knew. Like,
yeah. No, but so I broke up with her three times, including a front row.
I'm more interested.
And then I climbed out of the window.
Yeah, that's the part that I'm interested in. You climbed.
That is pretty fun.
I went to the restroom, and I noticed that it just was this kind of like wood window, and it was first floor, so it was pretty easy to get out. And I was thinking, like, going back to the rest of dinner. Who pays for dinner? Her parents said they would pay. There's so many awkward moments in all this that I just wanted to not be
too
there
many
anymore.
Logistics to deal with. You had to get out of that situation.
And they hated me, full on hated me, and rightly so. She still didn't seem. I didn't want to break up with her a fourth time.
Yeah.
So
four is
that's
a
gauche.
Bit much.
Four is too much.
Four is too much.
All right.
We still like you.
Good job. I guess.
Good job, Craig. I think you should just walked right out of that bathroom and just waved goodbye. See you later. I have made a choice, and you're not in my life. There's nothing wrong with that. You're entitled to have that decision. Hey, okay, so how do people get to the podcast? How do they hear it?
The podcast is available on iTunes. Our new episode comes out this Wednesday. It's our Pride and Shame episode. It was from our Pride show this past June. The next show is July 16th at the Flatiron Arts Building at 1579 Milwaukee. That'll be 10 p.m. on July 16th.
Yeah, can listen on, if you have Android, you can listen on any podcast app. You can get on your computer, your phone, take a listen. And we just did our one-year anniversary, so we've got a whole lot of backstories already up there for you to check out.
There's tons of episodes on there, and
And I cannot stress this enough. It is so worth it to listen to the podcast and go to the shows. I haven't been to one of the shows, but I'm going to come when I'm not working. The podcast is amazing. There's also this Twitter that Dan runs called Not a Wolf that everyone just needs to look at. It's at Sick of Wolves. It's definitely a man tweeting and not a wolf pretending to be a man.
A real human
man. But thank you guys so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
And let's decide on our winner. What do you think, Craig? Do you have an opinion? Because
I do. I think that Susan's joy from attacking
that
cop car.
Yeah.
We all go with Susan?
I felt like Susan just really earned that.
She giggled the whole time.
I love a good distaste for authority. I can go on record saying that.
Yeah. Although, I also really like the Santa Claus story. I know that didn't count, but
I would feel pretty selfish walking out of here with the gift card.
Oh no, I'm just saying, out of our stories, I think it might be the Santa Claus one.
That's pretty good.
Susan, congratulations.
Susan nailed it.
You're great. We still like you.
But everybody who shared tonight is a champion, and we truly, 1, 2, 3.
We still like you.
Hey, congratulations, guys, on a great idea, and it seems like it's taken off. Very happy for you guys, and thanks for coming in tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. That is Dan Shee and Jesse Batend. WeStillLikeYou.com, and you can email them, WeStillLikeYou@gmail.com, if you want to be a part of the show.